To follow up on the last two messages you have heard. You have heard the both two messages from Pastor Paul over the last couple of weeks on the gospel community. Number one, the goal, which is the glory of God. And number two, this commitment that you have made, which is fueled by the gospel. And these were both, as in Paul's words, reorienting thoughts, but reminders that everything, new life, and I think I'm supposed to say new life for the rest of today, and then next week we're a new church with a new name. But you have been growing as a church. You have been on this journey, and God has been building this church. But all along, because these are reminders, it is you exist for the glory of God, and that all things would be done for Him and for His glory. But you've also existed that you've made, and there's a commitment that's been made, fueled by the gospel. And so those two reminders that hit me when Paul and I talked about what I might preach on, that I thought I may add one more reminder for a gospel community, and that is there is a sovereign opportunity awaiting you in a new home. That does not mean the work that has been done here over the last 12 years has not been unimportant. It has been very important, critical, as God was bringing this particular church, each and every one of you, for His glory, committed together with the gospel, fueling everything we did, that we would make this season to this new opportunity. And folks, you all know you are moving to White Marsh. I guess that's considered a White Marsh location. You're moving to White Marsh at the perfect time. That's how cool this is. And we have no idea what God is going to do in and through you just off of Philadelphia Road. So I believe if I can preach the third sermon in this mini-series of a gospel community and a sovereign opportunity would be the title. So if you have your Bibles, I ask Paul if it's okay if I show you multiple scriptures today. I hope I don't drive you crazy. I would normally prefer to preach from one or two verses and go nowhere else. This is how slow we are at Perry Hall. 4 years in Matthew, we're now in Ephesians, and who knows when we will end. I move very, very slowly, both physically and when I preach. I'm even moving more slowly today because I was forced to play pickleball yesterday with the kids. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 16, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 16. So while the message of this sovereign opportunity, gospel community, let's make sure we're all on the same page, gospel community, the goal, the glory of God, the commitment fueled by the gospel, and both the glory and God of glory of God and the commitment that we have made, and now a sovereign opportunity awaits New Life Redeemer Community Church. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. So while we will look at a lot of scripture, there's one main verse for us. That is verse 9. I may even read verse 8. But I will stay in Ephesus, Paul says, until Pentecost. For a wide door for effective work has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Let's pray. Father, it is a joy to be with this local body of believers. Father, it is a privilege for me wearing different hats to celebrate with them your faithfulness and your goodness over the last dozen plus years. But it is also a privilege to be here, Lord, to in a sense give a charge to a church community that is going through a transition. And Father, in your sovereign plan, it wasn't 7 years ago or 9 years ago or 4 years ago. It is exactly at this time that you have chosen to relocate this local outpost of your kingdom. And Father, you have sovereignly and miraculously opened a door for where they are going. Father, we can see your hands of grace and mercy over this entire process. And we pray, Father, that you have prepared them, you are preparing them, and that they are ready to open up this new chapter of their journey. I pray, Father, now as we seek to be encouraged by your word, that you would keep our minds clear of distractions, that we would be able to see what you would have us to learn through your word this morning, that yes, indeed, we would be encouraged, Father. There would be a sense of expectation, anticipation of what you are about to do moving ahead. But as always, Father, we ask for your spirit, who is both the author and the interpreter of the scriptures, that he would guide us and give us clarity, illuminate the scriptures to us so that we would hear exactly what you would want us to hear. Father, may you be glorified through the scriptures today and through your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the best things about this room, unless I'm missing it, there's no clock. So I'll do my best to stay within the proper limits. This is both meant to be a message of encouragement to you folks here at New Life, but it is also a message that has great significance to me personally. You say, Pastor, this is not the verse we would think would be so impactful to you, a verse that speaks about opportunity, open doors, and opposition or adversaries. But as a pastor, I have often felt that by God's grace, I would not one day become a heretic. I believe by God's grace, he has saved me to have me to this season of my life to be a preacher of the gospel, to faithfully shepherd Perry Hall Baptist Church. That is my call. And although a righteous man is very careful, a righteous man or woman is very careful to take heed lest they fall. In other words, we're prepared that the enemy could bring his attacks against each one of us individually or against a church. But I seem to be keenly aware of the possibility of attacks on my own life or any pastor, and I don't mean to minimize the attacks we may all feel from the enemy and from the battle, not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities. I think we're all keenly aware of that. But as a pastor, I don't have a sense that in a year or 2 years or 10 years from now, I'm going to be preaching heresy. I don't believe that's the case by God's grace. But what I do believe, folks, and I mean this with all my heart, and why I believe this is so meaningful to us today and why it is so personal to me, I believe there are real ways the enemy in the spiritual battle we all engage in, and why Ephesians 6, 10 to 18 is so important about the very armor of God we are to wear that comes following right after the verses that our battle is not flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, and all the minions of the evil one are after the gospel-preaching churches. By the way, this church is one of the few. New Life / Redeemer Community is one of the churches that is faithful to preach the Word of God in this culture and in this community. So there's all likelihood that when Paul says there is opportunity and opposition, that is real. But let me bring it back down to the personal level. Where I feel the greatest attack in my life is not from the people that sometimes don't like what I say or the sin that still it remains in me, although that is a battle. Remaining sin in my life, the remaining sin in the congregation at Perry Hall and maybe here too, these are real battles. But I have a real sense that the enemy would like nothing more than to take me out. And I'm not making this about me. I'm speaking of those that preach the gospel. You say, well, where are you going with this? What I'm going to is where there is opportunity for the spread of the gospel, there will be opposition. That is the reality. The great G. Campbell Morgan, who was the predecessor to Martin Lloyd-Jones at the great Westminster Chapel in London, he said, if you're not facing opposition in the place you are serving, then you are serving in the wrong place. If you're not facing opposition in the place you are serving, then you may be serving in the wrong place. And so again, making this personal, this is certainly more about New Life today, but I'm trying to help you see why this feels so relevant to me. Because if Dave is not going to give up preaching the gospel by God's grace and to be faithful to the word, as your pastors are, then what would be the way in which the enemy would attack? My remaining sin, those areas that are yet to be perfectly sanctified, but also with my children. And I'm convinced that one of the ways that the enemy is attacking me this very moment is through my children. I see, we have six kids. Pete mentioned that we have three little ones already on the grandparenting side and two more on the way. But of the six children we have, four are running after the Lord today. Two are not. The battle for their souls is very great, I can assure you. It is painful as parents to watch our children go through these difficult seasons, isn't it? For those parents in this room that have been around a while, you know what I am talking about. I think you can at least understand. And I see the very sin in their lives, but the battle of the enemy, as their dad has been given a gracious season of an open door. But I also see how the weight of the enemy is coming down upon my children. I won't go into those details. That is not for now, maybe not even appropriate, simply to say this passage matters to me because when I came to Perry Hall 6 years ago, that was my new opportunity. That was the open door of effective ministry, and God has been gracious. But this entire time I've been at Perry Hall, we have had to live through some very difficult season as this onslaught in our family continues. I say all that to say this. This is a picture personally of an opportunity for open doors, or open doors equal opportunities. But there is opposition. There is adversaries. If you will bear with me today, I would like us to look at a couple different passages in Scripture, and I would like to show you what this open door of opportunity looks like, because I think it's going to very clearly speak to New Life, to Redeemer Community Church in the coming days, weeks, months, and years ahead of you. So let's start by going backwards to the book of Acts. And Paul is fond of using Acts 14:27. Paul is fond of using this idea of door. So metaphorically, folks, this idea of a door, it is a wide open door described in some translations back there in 1 Corinthians 16:9. It's a wide open door, a door of opportunity for effective ministry. But here it starts with Paul, at least in using this phrase, if you look at 14:27. And when they arrived, this is Paul's first missionary journey, when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened up a door of faith to the Gentiles. Now, let's think of that as a starting point on this concept of this open door that's been given to Paul, I believe has been given to God's church, his true church, has been given to Perry Hall and to New Life, an open door. And Paul uses this picture here in this verse to explain or to categorize the entire ministry he has had so far. He wants them to see that this opportunity has been an open door. That's the picture he is setting forth, that the spread of the gospel, effective ministry, evangelization, discipleship, caring for a community, all of that, Paul says, that spread, that preaching, that proclamation, that the faith that has gone out to the Gentiles is an open door. And Paul describes it that way, and so I need us to hear that, because as we walk through a few verses, that sets the tone for what Paul means by this open door. If you'll flip over now to Acts 16, just a few pages. Chapter 16 of Acts, verse 10. Now here the word door is not used, but you will see the relationship to the door. As we were going, let me go to verse 16:10. Let's start, guys, if we can, back to 16:6. I'd rather start in 6. There it is. 16:6. They went through the region of Phrygia, Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So Paul's intention was to go to Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia. This is great. This is just a beautiful picture here. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And then, of course, you know the rest. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. No word of door, but an absolute sovereign work of God. In this case, if I could, if you'll let me, shut the door to one area of ministry to open up the area of ministry that God wanted at that very time. In other words, providentially, God was setting up his plan for Paul's missionary journeys, and this is now moving towards his second journey and ultimately his third journey, but he is providentially leading Paul to be where he wants Paul to be, doing missionary efforts. Folks, don't miss this. Sometimes the door of opportunity opens, and sometimes the Lord shuts the opportunity. Maybe some of you thought we should have a new church facility. Some of you that have been around a while. Maybe that should have happened 4 years into our journey. Maybe 7 years ago, or maybe 5 years ago, or 2 years ago. But right now, the door has opened. And we all in this room recognize that this door has opened sovereignly. God's hand is all over what he is doing for New Life Church. Not only in a new beginning as Redeemer Community Church, but really, regardless of the name, this body has entered into a new season of ministry. And back to the thought, thought of 1 Corinthians 16:9, he uses some key words in that process in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 16. He first says, some translations say wide open. The word in many translations is great. It's the word mega. You've heard that word before in our language. We use mega all the time. It's a Bible word. As a matter of fact, the great storm that came upon the Sea of Galilee that threatened to kill the disciples if Jesus had not intervened, it is called a great storm, a megas. The opportunity that Paul is referring to, and folks, by application, I believe the opportunity for you all is a great opportunity, a wide open door, which we'll cover in just a minute what that looks like. But he goes on to say the door is open. In the original language, this word open, oinoigo, it means in the sense it's used, the door stands open. It's not going to be opened. It's not used to be open. The door stands open right now. And then Paul uses this incredible word to describe it. He says it is an effective ministry opportunity. The word effective, energeis, is the word in Greek, and it means this. It means to be active, to be effectual, to be productive. You all may know by memory, Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is active. Active, same word here. Philemon 1:6, talking about sharing the gospel. It's effective. Same word is here. So this open door that God has standing open for Paul, and Paul is, by the way, referring to his ministry in Ephesus. The passage in 1 Corinthians 16:9, Paul is writing 1 Corinthians from Ephesus. He tells them that he's going to come later because he says, right now, this is where the effective ministry is, and I'm going to stay here as long as the Lord wants me to in Ephesus until he's done with me. And ultimately, he does leave based on persecution. Let's keep going through this and look at 2 Corinthians now. 2 Corinthians 2. Thank you for being willing to look along with me. I think these verses are helpful to give us a picture of this open door. This is now 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, now look at this, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. Isn't that interesting? Paul recognizes that a door was open, but he had a heart to find Titus. And so at least at this point, he did not walk through that open door. He felt led to move on, almost as if Paul could not concentrate on the ministry there. He needed to move on to a different place to find Titus. Again, the picture, Paul sees ministry opportunity, effective ministry, as the sovereign work of God, as opening up the door. Let me look at just two more, Colossians 4. Colossians 4. In Colossians chapter 4, my church has, a few of our church members, just as an aside here, have recommended that I do PowerPoint so that they can follow along. And I have very graciously said, forget it. I want them to have their Bibles. Frankly, I'd rather you look at your Bibles than me, but that's a whole other story. This is important to me. I just want us as believers to know, yes, the world is changing. Yes, I have 40 or 50 different versions on here. Yes, I believe there is something about looking at the Bible while we hear the word preached. So forgive me making you go through all these verses. I think it matters that we look at them. So there's no PowerPoint at Perry Hall Baptist. I think I've preached it a little bit strongly on that, because I think it's okay to use your phones to look up the scriptures. I just happen to like having my Bible in front of me. And somebody did leave, and they said that they're not going to stay at a church that makes them have a physical Bible. So that is a discussion for another day. That's where the Lord has me, and that's what I believe that we should do. At the same time, this is verse 3 of chapter 4 of Colossians. Paul says in verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word. He may open up to us a door for the word. And what's the door look like? To declare the mysteries of Christ. To declare the mysteries and the glories of Christ. Paul, you all may remember, he is in prison writing that. And while he's in prison, Paul does not say, may a door to this prison open up so I can get out. He says, no, I want a door to effective ministry that would open. Last one, guys, I promise, on this journey, all the way to the back of the Bible, Revelation 3. Revelation 3, verse 7. Should be easy to find, last book. Ephesians 3, verse 7. To the church, this is entitled in many of your Bibles, to the church in Philadelphia. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, that is Christ, the true one, who has the key of David, has the key of David, who opens up, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. The Lord says, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an opened door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yes, you have kept my word and have not denied my name. And he goes on to describe their enemies will be defeated. In verse 10, he says, because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell in the earth. I am coming soon, verse 11. Hold fast to what you have. Let's stop there. Here is another door to one of the seven churches that John has been given this beautiful glimpse in the book of Revelation. And the Lord's message is at the church to Philadelphia. Now, I have to admit, folks, it did hit me that when I was reading about the church of Philadelphia, that your new location is right off of Philadelphia Road. I don't mean to do some sort of spiritual gymnastics, honestly, but it had to hit you a little bit when you heard me talking about Philadelphia, who knows what the Lord means to say by that. But here is something that I want you to see. Number one, in this passage, it is the door that opens is opened by the Lord. And number two, when he opens the door, nobody can shut it. This is good stuff. If you don't get excited by this, I don't know what will excite you. He opens the door and no one can get in the way until he may sovereignly decide to shut the door. That's number one. Number two, this church in Philadelphia, unlike some of the other churches in chapter 2 and 3 here, is given a complimentary, a positive review. The other churches, not so much. But in this positive review, the Lord makes this comment about the church of Philadelphia. It may be missed. It's in verse 8. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have been, listen, you have but little power. You hear that? Little power. Now we can guess what that may mean. You know what I think it means? This was not a mega church. This was probably a small church. This reminds me of what Pastor Paul said last week about the beauty of our weaknesses being made strong in him, about he being our strength. Little beginnings, smaller churches, but yet with the power and the grace and the opportunity that God gives us, we can do great things. So there is a biblical overview of door. New life. You guys are about ready to walk through a new door. It has been opened to you sovereignly. It is the Lord who will give you all that you need. In other words, the work of this new church life off of Philadelphia Road in White Marsh, the work will be beyond you. But what God commands, he also enables. This open door, let me just see for time if I can hit a few thoughts. You have a new home, and even though we may not love this gym all the time, and maybe you don't love all the things we have to set up and take down, and I get that, it makes sense. The new building could have a roof leak. It may already have a roof leak. There may be electrical or plumbing problems. I think I've heard some things. There may be challenges there, is my point. And yet, this is a new home. But with that new home comes new neighbors, praise God. With new neighbors comes new needs for us to meet. With new neighbors and new needs come new opportunities to love people with the gospel. Praise God for the last two messages, because you know why you're there is for the glory of God and fueled by the gospel to live out your call to commitment. I love Pastor Paul. I hope you wrote it down. He said, write this down last week. It was two words. Let's see how they listen, Pastor Paul. Joyful. I don't even go here. And I know what he said. Joyful obedience. Not guilt-ridden, shameful obedience. Not even willpower. But living obediently out of the gospel because of something was done for us that we didn't deserve, didn't earn, couldn't accomplish on our own. So the real joyful obedience comes living in light of his love for us, changes everything, and no longer do we live out of guilt or shame or thinking that I can do it on my own or my own personal willpower, but I live out of gratitude for what the gospel has done, his love for me. And by the way, as the great Thomas Chalmers wrote in his little booklet, the power, the expulsive power of a new affection. The expulsive power of a new affection. In other words, the more deeply we fall in love with Christ through the gospel, the more grateful we are, and all of a sudden, we become the most excited, the most worshipful, the most forgiving, the most generous people responding to a gospel that is generous, joyful, forgiving, rescuing. And so in your new home, meeting new needs, opportunities to love, there will come the potential of new challenges. So we look through these glasses with a great deal of excitement. But if you guys do what I think God plans for you and what I think you will joyfully be obedient to, you're going to find there's going to be some hard work ahead. And I'm not speaking about physical plant, the campus of the church. There is a sense in which the culture is antagonistic to the gospel, even often without understanding it. There is a sense in which the culture, our communities, will be against what we stand for without really understanding what we stand for. But there is going to be opposition, just as I said in my opening remarks about me personally. I have to admit, New Life family, I don't know when I started and when I'm supposed to stop. So if I can have five more minutes, I hope you'll still love me. I feel like I've just done the introduction. I've never done a real sermon. I've only done introduction to sermons. I have never finished it in all these years. I think you hear my heart, but there is this opposition. Who was it? John Calvin said that he thought all men training for the ministry should study the Bible and theology and church history. But Calvin believed they should have a course in handling opposition because he knew what would come. Martin Luther, that was Calvin, Martin Luther said it this way, where God plants a church, the devil puts a chapel. Paraphrasing, the devil puts a church, where the Lord puts a church, the devil plants a chapel. Paul, when he said this idea of a new opportunity back in 1 Corinthians 16:9, where we started, he said, but there are adversaries there. I want you now to turn back to 2 Corinthians. We're almost done. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look with me at verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. That word despaired is worth our study. It means to have no passage. It means to have no exit. What is Paul saying? At one point in his ministry in Ephesus and surrounding Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, as he's talking about the opportunity, there has been success in the gospel presentation, there has been success in his preaching and teaching, and his evangelism and disciple-making, but the adversaries have taken him, whether it was the Jewish nation, whether it was the Gentile adversaries, whether it was the enemy himself, Paul was feeling such a persecution, such opposition, that he despaired for his life, meaning he saw no way out. There was no exit. That's what despaired for his life meant. Verse 9, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. That in the original language, that looks like a technical sentence of death. I think Paul's describing how bad he felt, how he thought he would die. But look at the next part of verse 9. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. What's the powerful promise there? Is that God would deliver him because it was a promise, number one. Number two, there was a sense of confidence that his reliance could not be on himself, as we heard last week in the message, but our complete hope and faith and trust was not here, but it was on a God who does all things perfectly in his timing. And Paul, in the middle of death sentence, his language, in the middle of despairing for his life, no way out, Paul was saying, but we relied because of it on him. New life, you must rely in this new season of your ministry on the Lord and on the Lord alone. As you minister to these families in a new community and you make friends and you start to have intentional friendships, because church attendance, while commanded and a blessing, and some of the most important things of worship and fellowship happen when we attend church. The majority of the open opportunity is going to take place outside the church walls as we love a community that is desperate for the gospel. This is the beauty of this new opportunity, and God has given you something that I can't wait to hear the reports over the coming days, months, and years of what God has done there. So for you that know me, I hang out in restaurants. I know you're surprised. It's all right. I'm able to stay fit regardless. But here's why I do it. Not because I even like the food anymore. I've been at these restaurants so long they can't even do good food anymore. I'm there because as a pastor, if I simply stay around Christians, and that's a big part of what I do, right? To be with Christians, to love Christians, to fellowship with Christians. I have to find ways to get outside of the church walls to meet people that are dying without Jesus Christ. Your ministry, your open opportunity is not at the Sunshine Grill, where I hang out, or at the Gunpowder Lodge, that's where I go for lunch. I go there so that I can meet waitresses. Don't get the wrong idea. I mean waitresses and waiters. I want to share with them that there's hope. And you know what happens? This is so good. This opportunity, I really am done. Just give me 3 minutes. I'm just too excited about this. The Lord opens up doors right while I sit there. I take my Bible. I sit it on the table. I meet with somebody. Somebody else comes in, and it looks like a doctor's office. Mr. Moore, you'll be with you in a minute. But people see the Bible. They come over. They say, can you pray for me? Yes, I can. Pastor Dave, because I think they think I'm the mayor of Fork at Sunshine, but they call me Pastor Dave. Pastor Dave, I'm really going through a difficult season. These are not believers. And the opportunities happen, folks. Your opportunities may take place in Taco Love is across the street. Or is it the G&A restaurant? Or there's a pizza place, or I think it's Greens or something like that. You notice how I know all these restaurants. But I'm leaving them alone. I'm not getting in there. That's just your job. Don't mess with me at Sunshine. You go where you go. Make intentional efforts to be in the community that God has called you. I don't care where you live. Make intentional efforts. When I wake up, and I'll close with this since we're out of time, that I have three prayers that are almost the same three prayers that I pray literally every day. Now, I have other prayers, but these three are at 98% of my prayer life, and they begin somewhere as I stumbled into the shower, sometimes when I linger in bed. These are the three prayers I pray. You don't have to do exactly like I do, but I think there's a message here. Number one, oh Lord, I need your help today. I desperately need your grace. Would you deliver the grace that I need? And would I have the grace to see your grace and not miss it? That's the prayer number one, very simple. Prayer number two, Lord, I want to see you today. Whatever it takes, do not allow me to miss you today. Whatever way you've showed me, whether it be in the beauty of his creation, whether it be in the beauty of relationships and people and grandkids, I want to see you and help me not to miss it. That's prayer number two. Prayer number three, appropriate to the final conclusion of what we're studying today. Prayer number three, Lord, would you give me an opportunity to spread the gospel today? Lord, would you give me an opportunity to speak to somebody about Christ today, or at least begin a pre-gospel conversation today? And listen, I'm smart enough to wait. You're going to like this. I don't move forward until the lights flash, figuratively speaking. The opportunity, when you're faithful to pray for this particular open door, God, not every day, but in his timing, he will open the door up, and I'm going to tell you, this is why you're off the hook to worry. The lights will flash, and I don't move forward until the lights flash, because I'm trusting the timing of that open door. And sometimes I think it is an open door, and there's opposition. Two quick cases at Sunshine. I see two guys sitting next to me. They're as worldly in their conversation as I've ever heard. And I was actually studying at that time. I took some time to study. I like the ambient noise. I can study in restaurants. They're so bad, though, I feel like I have to say something. But they're so bad, I feel like I can't say anything. So I'm waiting for what? The flashing lights. They really don't go off too clearly. But as I'm wrapping up, one of them says a bunch of expletives and this and that. And I get up and I say, I got to go. I got to go see him. I got to talk to him. Long story short, I get mocked, ridiculed right out the door. So did I see the lights flashing? I don't know. I felt it was the opportunity, but that was not the day God was going to change their lives. They finished it with, I guess you're going to convert us today. And I said, no, I could never do that, but I'm hoping he will. That's what it looks like when you walk through a conversation, and for whatever reason, the door's shut or the opposition is there. And that happens. And other times, I have a chance to share. Somebody will go on for 7 to 8 minutes of all the reasons they don't believe. The red lights flash. And I finally say, those are all good questions. Those are good objections, Mr. Jones. But what are you going to do with Jesus? And in this particular case, a young man said, that really is the question that matters, isn't it? You see how the opportunities, we've just got to be faithful. Let me read part of the song, since I should have it memorized, but I don't. I'm going to get it in reverse order. This is Martin Luther, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel and hate. On earth is not his equal. Praise God that we're not worried about his equal being on earth. But then going up the ladder in the stanzas. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing, were not the right man on our side. The man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. This is the secret to the opportunity. That he would use us, weak people, in desperate need daily to accomplish his purposes if we are willing and faithful to walk through the open door that he's given us. Oh, New Life Redeemer community, may you be excited about the open door. May we not focus on the opposition. He will handle the opposition, but it will come. But may we focus on the God who's opened the door and will not allow anybody to shut it until he accomplishes his purposes in White Marsh. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for, Lord, your words today. And while we have only just begun to understand this opportunity, both that Paul had and what we have, we do realize, Father, that you're the one that providentially opens and shuts the doors. Father, may this beautiful community of believers stand today with courage and faithfulness and boldness and great expectation as they enter a new season of ministry. May they be excited about what they know and even more excited about what they don't know that you're going to accomplish. Father, would you give them the strength that we cannot muster on our own? May we live out of the gospel, which is your strength and power in us. May we live out of the beautiful understanding that our life is now hid in you and that we have our living and our being in Christ, in our union with you. And Father, may we live out of that in a new community, from a new home, meeting new needs, showing love, being a light as people come in and being ambassadors as we go out, so that the fame of Jesus Christ would spread. And that God would get the glory, and as we were singing earlier, and that the nations would be glad as worship increases. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.